This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We're about to go around the NFL. I kind of want to bring what we were talking about to air, but I feel like I shouldn't, so I'll let that live. But living with us in this building, in the West Point Lincoln Studios, is our good friend, Brandon K. Scott. What's happening, man?
Hey, you know, it's real humbling when you come in the building. I've been working here almost 7 years now. 6.5 years I've been here, fortunate enough. And the same lead security guy downstairs has been there the whole time. Yeah. And he still calls me Brian. Oh. he hit me with it. And what is today? Is today the 8th or the 9th? Where are we now in the calendar?
It's the 9th.
So you know that whole when is it too late to give you a happy new year thing? Well, apparently it's not the 9th for this guy. I got a happy new year from him. I was glad to get it. Hadn't seen
Brian.
Him. You know, happy new year, Brian.
Doesn't matter what it looked like, Brian.
7 years. Mm-hmm. Going on 7 years. If I make it to August, yeah. 7 years. Brian. I love
happens
it.
All the time.
I love it.
I get called George all the time. Including
you do kind of look like a George, though.
No, because of George Lopez.
Oh, I would like to. I would like it put on the record that I had no. My mind did not even go to George Lopez. There was no schism in my game. I was just saying he looked like a George.
He looks like a George.
You just kind of look like a George.
You know what I'm saying? He just got some George to him.
Yeah, we were doing vibe checks earlier. Give a George vibe.
Hey, so real quick before we get into the NFL, because what a bracket it is, except for one game. that project you've moved a couple times. Any projects that you know you're never going to get to based on our question of the day?
Oh, yeah, no. So one was a dresser that my wife, God rest her soul, wanted me to paint this dresser that she got from a thrift or a garage sale, but it was just like a nothing dresser, mm-hmm. you know, and of course, by the time she passed, like they ended up being like a real kind of keepsake. But at the time she wanted me to paint it. And she wanted it to be like this thing in the living room and everything, and I just never got to it.
Have you gotten to it yet?
Oh no, eventually she got to it and okay. She ended up doing it in the garage and guilted me into participating. But it definitely stands out as one of those things that she had all the interest in the world and I had none. I could not muster it up. I still feel bad about it to this day, but no, I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Before I get to the playoffs and what the some of the key predictions in it. We've had a lot of conversation this week about the Baltimore Ravens, what they've done in firing John Harbaugh. Seems like going along with him and one of the major portions of the decision to move on from John Harbaugh was his attachment to Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Todd Monken actually jumped on a program with Ryan Ripken, and he was owning his mistakes when it came to that.
Like, is that kind of the fair thing to say? Everyone had a hand in things? Is that?
I don't know how else you can say it, because everybody's going to want a hand when it goes great. I mean, the year before, I didn't hear anybody. We all had a hand in it. We had a bunch of guys on offense that had career years. Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, the tight end, Lamar, the O-line. We were healthy the whole year.
Yeah.
And we all get to be a part of that. And we should.
Yeah.
But as I always tell the coaches, just like I would tell the players, you can't get all the credit when we do well and just exonerate yourself from the blame when it doesn't go that way. That is so ridiculously like out there that I can't even live in that world. I can't live in that world. I haven't gotten to where I'm at living in that world. I haven't. You know what? I didn't coach Lamar well enough. I didn't have as good a relationship as I could have. I didn't do the things that we needed this year to win enough games to give ourselves a chance. And I believe that. I'm not just saying that because I'm on your show, and I'm going to fight like hell to fix it. I'm going to fight like hell for the next job I get, and I'm going to root like hell for the Ravens.
Good for him, man.
I'm telling you.
I mean, good for him. That was about as real and as authentic as it could be. I mean, especially once he got to the point about the relationship,
mm-hmm.
because that's really at the core of the issue here. That's what we're really talking about. It's John Harbaugh who got fired.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to kind of read not just between the lines, but just the next sentence, right?
Yeah.
And it's more so of his loyalty to Todd Monken. And if you read everything past that, it was the relationship between Todd Monken and Lamar Jackson that really had gone south at that point. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's John Harbaugh's loyalty to Todd Monken. It's actually kind of odd that, you know, John Harbaugh would pick Todd Monken over Lamar Jackson, but then that's his own thing, right? That ends up being sort of the layered relationship dynamic. And that's what all of this came down to. The offensive coordinator and the quarterback are supposed to see the game through the same lens, to use a Clint Sternerism, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is true, but that wasn't the case here by the time you got to the end of it.
Well, the other thing for me, as I heard that, I was with you 100%, everything you said. But I don't know if John Harbaugh, quote, lost the locker room, depending on if you believe Ian Rapoport or Adam Schefter. But I guarantee you, maybe not Lamar Jackson. Players love that dude.
Yeah.
Players love Monken. There's no way they can't.
Well, and then you hear that and you could see why.
Yeah.
Right? He seems like a real dude, mm-hmm. you know, and willing to say that, not just, I mean, if that's how he's talking in public,
yeah.
Imagine what kind of truth he's talking, at least whatever he perceives the truth to be, how he's talking that to the players, right? That, like, that to me sounds like a real dude.
Yeah. So I found that to be intriguing, that he owned up to that. But that seems to be if he had recognized that earlier, I wonder if this ultimately does shift, if he can manage to cultivate that relationship in a way where they go in the same way. And maybe they just saw, they didn't see eye to eye in the way that the football stuff mattered. And when he says the relationship, it's really there and less about like a human element. But if they could have kept that together, it did feel like Todd Monken was good for what they were doing.
That is where blame becomes complicated, right? Because naturally you would think, okay, we're talking about Lamar Jackson, one of the great players of his generation, possibly one of the greatest quarterbacks that we've ever seen, and certainly the most unique, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of would tend to side with that. But what if he is not blameless in this whole relationship
sure.
breakdown that we're talking about?
Absolutely.
That's totally possible. We don't know all of the details. And so this kind of gives you a little window into it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like Todd Monken, somebody that sounds like a real dude, somehow could not form a relationship with a singularly great player on what seemed like should have been a much better team. I know they had injury issues,
yeah.
but that should have been a better team than what it turned out to be.
All right, one more here before we get to the key matchups that matter this weekend in wild card football. Colts general manager Chris Ballard, who can still have that title for some reason, he said that he sees Daniel Jones as a near and long-term answer. Said that that he has a really bright future. In Indy, quote, I think it's mutual on both sides. I think Daniel was a really good fit for this organization, and I think this organization and city were a really good fit for Daniel.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to, like, suddenly believe in Daniel Jones as a franchise quarterback, that I think that's a good idea. Power to the Colts if they believe it. But I will say, in their defense, mm-hmm. I could see how they could talk themselves into that based on how their season went.
Yeah.
When he was right and healthy, they were really good, and once he got injured – they were really bad. Now,
as he was getting injured, they were starting to make the turn, though.
Yeah,
Right. That's exactly the point I was going to make.
My bad. Apologies.
How much do they put into that? What exactly what you're talking about? There's like a 2-3, almost 4-week stretch there as they're starting to make that turn, as you're talking about, where they could point to and say, okay, is he really though? Is starting to look a little funny in the light?
Yeah.
And so they're clearly leaning more toward the start of the season when they had one of the better offenses in football and they looked like they were going to run away with the division.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they put more stock into that than into the smaller sample size of when it was going bad and then, of course, when it went off the rails once he got injured.
I don't know how much they really believe this, but I don't think they have a choice but to believe it.
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah, that's a fair point to make. All right, we turn you to the wild card weekend that's headed. Obviously, Texans Steelers will be the dessert on the weekend, but it should be a fun meal all the way through with football for you. Starting Saturday, 4:30 p.m., which used to be the honorary Texans slot, been taken over by Rams-Panthers, a sub-500 team.
And they deserve it.
Hosting the Los Angeles Rams. This is a matchup of a meeting, what was that week? Was that 15 or something? November 30th, where the Panthers beat the Rams 31-28. The key matchup here, Rams offense versus the Panthers in takeaways, because there was two interceptions by Matt Stafford in that Panthers game that ultimately allowed them to win that game. And it's going to be, can the Panthers do that again? Because it's going
to
be needed.
Oh, my God. If that's the story to you, then the story to me is you better not lose this game, Matthew Stafford.
Oh.
Losing to the Panthers like that, that's all fair and well and good what you're saying, Reggie. But that's not good enough excuse and reason for Matthew Stafford to lose this game first round to the Panthers in the MVP season. That cannot be it. I don't care that you're on the road. I don't care that they forced turnovers. I don't care that they beat you before. You the MVP. Y'all won 12 games this year. The Panthers are objectively the worst team that qualified for this playoffs, whether they win this game or not. You bet not lose.
Rams are going to win by at least 20 points.
There you go. Yeah.
It feels like it. I mean,
that's all good discussion, and yeah, I get it, and they did lose to them and all that, but they're going to win by 20.
If that's what you think, though, Lopez, think about it. My point is true.
Yeah.
Like, you're sitting here saying they're going to win by 20 points.
Yeah.
They come out there and lose?
You know, I get it.
Oh, my God.
You don't think that's an upset alert?
No. That was actually an argument that was
had on First Take earlier this year.
Nah.
They could just raise a question.
Hey, they beat them this year.
They did. I thought that was.
I understand why this one is just a wash.
And that's why it's about the turnovers, right? Because it was a very particular set of circumstances that made that game close. One of the reasons why that game last night, yes, Ole Miss had a chance to win it. Ole Miss also had 4 turnover opportunities that Miami just put on the floor, right? Those are the types of things that make a game either closer than it should be or, you know, make it a blowout when it absolutely should have been close.
Yeah. Yep.
This is one of those instances where that was a close game that should have been a blowout, and I feel like if we go 9 times out of 10, which is the way we have to talk about this, the Rams can't hold on to it.
It's all about if the Rams going to wet the bed.
Yeah, sure.
So it's not even about Carolina being good and beating them.
Yeah.
Are they going to wet the bed this time?
It cannot happen.
But styles make fights. It did look like in that game, at least, that the Panthers had a little bit of a style to create that. We'll see if that can come through again. The other game on Saturday is the Packers-Bears little NFC North matchup. The key matchup here, as the Packers have they're 1.5 point favorites in this one on the road in Chicago. Bears run game versus the Packers front seven, that is, been real rough. The Packers defense in general has been really rough, especially without Micah Parsons when he went down for the season. The Bears offense has been really good, but especially if they can run the football, that feels like that'd be dicey.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a shootout because I think both defenses have shown that their imperfections. Neither of these is the Texans defense, let's just suffice it to say.
Yeah.
And put them together and they're not the Texans defense.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think both offenses got a little something going. So I expect this to be a shootout. I'm actually really excited for this game because I think that, you know, despite it being in a cold weather city and it being, you know, the Bears, who you don't necessarily associate as a team that's going to score a lot of points, they got Caleb Williams now. They've put something together there. Like what we've seen from the Bears, I think, is legit this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of an interesting player because he does a lot of the really difficult. He's like exceptional at difficult things and almost substandard at really easy things.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes for an interesting game, I think, especially in the playoffs. But this will be fun. His first playoff game. I'm really looking forward to this matchup.
I'm with you. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. And I think the Bears, I mean, they create a lot of turnovers, but they give up a lot of long drives. I mean, they're very successful. I think
it's a bad defense outside of turnovers. Just flatly.
Their front is not impressive, and then their back end is normally impressive, but they got guys that are banged up. Like Jalen Johnson, their star cornerback, is like dealing with either a groin, like something like off the bone type of situation, and he's out there gutting it out. He doesn't look the same. So their defense is compromised, especially on the back end.
Yeah. The starting Sunday, you'll start with what might be the most fun game on the table here in this wild card menu of sorts. Bills at Jaguars, the 12-5 team going to the 13-4 team of the AFC South. Bills actually are the favorites by a point and a half. Matchup? Either passing defense, who's got it versus the likes of Trevor Lawrence or Josh Allen?
I'm going to go Josh Allen, but, man, Trevor Lawrence has been nice.
Like, if you're just handicapping this game and you don't know the histories of either Josh Allen or the Jaguars, I think you're like, why are the Jaguars not favored in this game?
Yeah, and to sidebar for a second here, but related, are y'all not surprised that this isn't the night? Like, I would have flip-flopped Bills-Jaguars. Help me understand this if y'all understand it better. Why Bills-Jaguars is the noon CBS game and Chargers-Patriots is the late game? Like,
you're not missing
anything. Am I missing something here?
Yeah, you're not missing anything. I think Eagles 49ers.
Yeah.
Eagles 49ers, honestly, is a matchup, man.
Chargers Patriots should be the first game, and then either one of these other two could have been the late game. Yeah. And I'd probably go Bills Jags to your point a minute ago, Reggie. Like, this is going to be the best game, or at least the one I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how they do that or how that ends up in the way that it does.
That's weird. Yeah. Like, unless the NFL understands something that I don't. But anyway. That's what's fun about it. The fact that your question is such a hard one to answer. Like, you would think it's Josh Allen, but if you've been watching Trevor Lawrence, man, buddy's been nice.
Yeah, I think you feel better about Josh Allen, but you also feel better about the Jags secondary compared to
just the Jags.
And the play calling that they have there compared to Trevor Lawrence, who you might feel a little bit less good about, even though he's been good. Yeah. But you definitely don't feel at least I don't feel all that great about the Bills secondary. Or defense in general as to what they're doing there. So that should be a fun one. Trevor Lawrence has 15 touchdown passes over the last six games.
Yeah.
He's been amazing.
Cooking. Two more games to run through real quick. Niners-Eagles that you guys mentioned is the midday game. What is the Eagles offense versus Niners defense in a battle of who wants to be worse? The Eagles offense, it has been head-scratching at times the way that they do it. They haven't run the ball all that well. And then, of course, they don't throw the ball as often as sometimes you would imagine. And then the Niners' defense is just – it's been battered to all hell, particularly that front of seven. And I don't know, are they getting Fred Warner back? But if it wasn't Fred Warner, when Fred Warner is not playing, and he hasn't recently, do you know who the linebacker that they've been throwing out there in the middle of a linebacker-specific defense like what we've seen with D'Amico Ryans?
Who?
Do you remember Eric Kendricks?
Oh, yeah, I did see Eric Kendricks out there. Anytime I see Eric Kendricks, do y'all do the thing where you're like, which Kendricks brother is that? Is that the one that went to that went to prison or the other one?
Yes. But that's how.
But yeah, I did notice that.
They are beaten to hell, so that's going to be.
Yeah, he's like my age. That is insane.
Yeah.
So look, the thing about, I think head scratching is, to put it kindly, about the Eagles offense. The head scratching part about them is like, are they going to, you know, the whole cliche flip the switch thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They seem to like kind of do that. Mm-hmm. You know, like they do this thing where the offense is like awful or uninspiring, and then the playoffs come and all of a sudden they're amazing.
I think the Niners are so unpredictable. I think the Niners are hard to figure.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes McCaffrey, sometimes not, sometimes Purdy, sometimes not, you know.
Yeah,
By the way, these two teams have been in the last three Super Bowls. So, you know, this is a big time marquee game.
Now I think the Eagles have an answer if they're willing to lean into it. Just lean on your big boys when it comes to AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, because as good as the Niners secondary players are, Diamador Lenore, Malik Mustafa, they're not as big. So can you get that size advantage and utilize that? That's a question. And of course, somebody's making the point that maybe market sizes help you in this one. The night game on Sunday, Chargers, L.A., versus Patriots in that Boston area. Pats are a 3.5-point favorite. Big key matchup, Justin Herbert versus the Patriots pass rush. That's the matchup there.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
I mean, the NFL just dominates no matter what.
Yeah, maybe. They're like, you'll watch. You'll watch all day.
Yeah, you're right. They're putting games on Netflix these days.
You'll watch it.
You could have put Carolina on the prime time. They'd still be have 27 million people watching.
The game is on an app.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. We have a Prime Video. One of these games is a Prime Video game, right?
Nah, it's CBS, Fox, and then Peacock.
Okay, so it might be next round where you get end up with this Prime Video game. That's the one that's going to drive me up a wall the weekend
Yeah, no, Bears Packers is a Prime.
There we go.
Video
yeah.
Game. Yeah. Yeah.
We have a streaming only game this weekend. How about weekend. That? That's set to piss some people off, I'm sure, but we'll figure that out. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's another edition of Around the NFL. Coming up next, we got to get B. Scott's thoughts, and I'm guaranteeing you, this is one that you'll want to hear. We do it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The time where I wait, y'all want to jump in. I did not jump off sides. I wanted to make sure that we got the fullness of the Beast Scott from Hiram Clark. Yeah. He is in studio and he's got thoughts.
Lopez ready for some thoughts.
I love those thoughts.
Hey, look, so the best part about this matchup is that I think from a macro and micro standpoint, it all really comes down to the same thing. And that's everything that the Texans offseason was about. The major changes that they made were the offensive coordinator and the offensive line. They fired their offensive coordinator of 2 years that they had some success with and replaced him with a guy that we honestly really had never heard of, right? And definitely somebody that had never called plays, right? And then the offensive line, even though so many people were, I think, supportive of the idea of moving on from Laramie Tunsil, I understood it more so from a salary standpoint, from a money allocation standpoint, but a lot of people just didn't like his vibe. Mm-hmm. And the idea was, you know what, we're going to do more with less on both ends. We're going to do more with less from the offensive coordinator standpoint because we're going to bring in a less experienced guy. Mm-hmm. We're going to do more with less from our offensive line standpoint because it's going to be a cheaper and less talented offensive line. And we're going to coach these guys up and we're going to do more with less in these areas. And look, they made it to 12 wins, basically the same spot that they were in last year, except they didn't win the division. And I think they did that in a lot of ways, in spite of those areas, right? In spite of the offensive coordinator being, you know, there being some struggles, in spite of the offensive line trying to figure things out on the fly. And then you look up and the offensive line doesn't even look by the end of the season the way that they intended for it to look at the beginning of the season, which is okay.
Yeah.
But now this is what we, and I talked about this with Clinton Ron earlier in the week. This is where we talk about the rubber meeting the road from the offensive coordinator first to the offensive line. That's the matchup in this game, and that's the overall story for the Texans from the start of the offseason up until now. Are you going to able to, quote-unquote, do more with less? Mm-hmm. Or are it's quite simply, are these moves going to work? Because I think that the offensive coordinator and the offensive line could be the reason why you win or lose the game. Based off of what you get from those areas could be the reason why you win or lose a game that you are, by the way, favorite to win.
Here's the thing that's interesting about your thought there. Short of winning a Super Bowl, aren't we still going to be talking about the offensive line and the offensive coordinator no matter what this offseason?
So I think that there,
like, no, even if they get to the conference championship, which maybe that'll temper it some, but ultimately if they lose, because they're not going to score a lot of points. They're just not.
Well, so I think that's where the middle ground is here, because the extremes are they perform horribly, and it just reaffirms everything.
And then here we go.
All of the skepticism that we already have.
Right.
They could be great. They could have a great game, or at the very least do a lot of the, like, honestly, a lot of the things that they've already done through this 9-game winning streak that has contributed to winning football. They do some of that. They do a lot of the things that they've done recently, and I think despite some of the recent complaints, I think you'll live with it. But if they do some of the other things that they've done recently, like overly relying on the kickers and honestly, more so really the three, because I think kickers are going to factor into this game. It's going to be that type of game. But like the three and outs, the bad red zone operation and not even getting to the red zone at times, the end of half stuff that is spotty at times, say for like one Davis Mills moment that you got earlier in the season, like that, that's the type of stuff that we're talking about. If you see that those things look better and they contribute to winning, and I think even more so the offensive line, right? When you get to that matchup of, okay, blocking up T.J. Watt, Highsmith, their guys in the middle are really good. Okay, so, like, figuring that part out, that's going to be both incoming on the offensive line to perform, but also on Nick Caley on how he calls the game. Mm-hmm. So all of these things, I think, are going
to
matter.
One of the things within that, I think, is they have gotten to a place, or at least we've given them credit for getting to a place where – they finish these games in a particular way, right? That's been D'Amico Ryans' call, is finish. And on the offensive side, that's been what? Run the football for enough, falling forward, sometimes even breaking out of the realm of here's two, here's three, here's 4 yards, and here's seven, here's nine, here's 15 to finish off game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
What's interesting in this matchup is the Steelers' defense isn't good per se, or maybe not great per se stopping the run, but they're decent. They're anywhere in various different running circumstances of being 15th, 16th, 17th, 14th in various different spots where you happen to be in these metrics, 31st, 26th, 24th. And it's the obviously the way that they run the football, it's not good in those metrics, but it is sufficient. We've talked about that a number of times. But how does that match up with a about average run-stopping team in every way, especially in a game where you might need to find yourself in a place finishing out, and the way that you finished doesn't really match up nicely against what the Steelers did?
This is really one of the exact things that I'm talking about, though, like how you overcome, and they've done a good job of doing this. How do you overcome not having the running game that you said you were going to have and the one that you expect to have in this offense? They haven't necessarily had it. Now, to your point, Reggie, they have had the moments like Woody Marks, credit to him. He's come up with some, and even Nick Chubb, I think, earlier in the season, and of course, Jawar Jordan and his emergence as of the last few weeks. Like, you've had guys that have had some key runs for you, even if the numbers overall weren't good for that particular game. We've seen plenty of that. But I think overall, they have compensated for not having the most effective run game, the most efficient run game. If you look at their numbers from earlier in the season, like, going into the Jaguars game, week 10, before the 9-game winning streak starts, they're somewhere close to the bottom of the league in their passing game at that point. You fast forward to now, going into this wild card game, they're somewhere toward the top half of the league, right? So, like, they've made marginal success, or had some marginal improvements, I should say, both in the passing game and overall in scoring points. Like, they're putting up more points, and they're getting more down the field than they were earlier in the year. The issues that they're still having is they're still lousy in the red zone.
Yeah.
They're still not great on third down. And so, like, these are, and of course, those running numbers that we're talking about. The running game is pretty much the same as it's been all year. So like, these are the things that they have, I think, overcome. Can they continue to do so in an environment that I think is different? Playoffs, everything on the line, that sort of thing.
And really what when you talk about their improvement, outside of maybe scoring a few more points, it's really just efficiency. I mean, Reggie can speak to this a lot better than I can, but they're just more
oh, I'm efficiency man now?
You're an efficiency right. man because you dig in on those stats.
You're right.
But they're really just more efficient offensively. And that's when you start to face a defense that is, you know, pretty good against the run, not great, but pretty good against the run, and you're not great. You know, does that efficiency drop in the passing game, you know, in those circumstances with those pass rushers? And specifically, Hayward scares me probably more than
T.J. Watt.
Probably more than T.J. Watt.
And I don't even know if it's just Hayward. I think we haven't talked at all about this.
Yeah.
This is a 3-4 defense.
Right.
And that inherently means that you've got those three interior defensive linemen that are clogging up that middle, which is where they want to run the football. Even if they end up getting double teams or whatever, that's just dudes in those rushing gaps that make it a little tough for Woody Marks or whoever else you have toting the rock to find that gap in these, you know, oftentimes zone
circumstances.
They're
going to be slanting like crazy. That's what they do.
And
they're,
so does that make for more instances where you're bouncing outside and then stretching out and not getting those fall forward moments that take a run that's blocked up for 1 yard to a 3 yard rush, or a run that's blocked up for 2 yards to get a 4 or 5 yard rush? That's going to be interesting because the margins are going to be important in this game.
I think it's that plus going back to the point about Nick Caley is going to come down to when you call it, because I think you are going to have to. I think you're going to have to at two things: concede that it is going to be rough to get yards on inside, but also still commit to the run game one way or the other, whether it is bouncing it outside like Reggie's talking about, or just simply calling it early and then committing to, hey, some of these downs are just going to be passing downs, and we're going to lean more into what we've done better as of late, as opposed to, you know, beating a dead horse, so to speak. So so I think it's going to be both how they run it and how they call the runs.
Yeah, and how they go about this. I haven't checked this recently, and I don't know why. I want to see some tendencies on what has Nick Caley done in the latter parts of the season when it comes to first down rushing. How often, especially since they've been kind of rough on third down, how often has it been third and long? Because remember, early on in the season, that was a big conversation.
See, later in the year, you can point to that. Later in the year, they've had a lot more. You know, we don't want to get behind the chains. They've been behind the chains a lot more lately.
Yeah, and those are the types of things that when the margins get narrowed, that stand out and become like they stick out like a sore thumb, so to say.
The best parts of the short Davis Mills era of this season was how good they were on the early downs. I do remember that, is that a lot of, they were getting their work done, at least when they were good, when the offense was flowing. They were getting a lot of their work done early.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that in this game. Like to, you know, and I think it goes without saying, right? You want to be successful on early downs as often as possible. But that is when I saw the offense at its best early on, right? And I think we've seen it progress even from then with the emergence of the rookies and that sort of thing. So I think Nick Caley and the offensive line are the big stories of this game.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, and you just gave me more more work to do, because I need to go check these things out and see where this Texans team stands. But those are B. Scott's thoughts, always insightful, always thought-provoking here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610, and on the entirety of Sports Radio 610, you hear him on with Clint and Ron on the Drive as well. So it's always a blessing to have you, and we will continue feeling that blessing as we continue into the next segment. What's popping coming up, including the Rockets in Portland once again tonight. What are we thinking about that? We'll talk about that and more. Oh, and we've got a rodeo lineup. Did you know about that?
Oh, man.
Let's do that next. All right, let's get into what's popping here on this Football Friday. And I'm doing football in many different ways. Lopez, can you see what's on my second screen here?
I was looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, I was trying to get the
score, but I couldn't see it.
It's 1-0 Senegal, because I'm still going to do my AFCON. It is a World Cup year. Fight me about it. But, of course, the football that we all care about is headed in – with some real fun stuff coming up, World Cup. I'm stuck.
Yeah.
But
hey, over here.
Wild card.
One of those footballs.
Different WC. Wild card weekend coming up. We were talking about those matchups. But within this weekend of football, right, we've got the wild card matchups. We've got the second semifinal that's going to see Oregon and Indiana play. And if I'm being entirely honest, and maybe this is unfair to Miami, I think your national champion is playing tonight.
I agree with you.
We'll see how that plays. So all sorts of things there. Don't forget, Rockets playing a little bit of basketball against Portland. And I start here just because me and B. Scott were hosting a couple weeks ago, and I made it very clear. I thought that there was no business for Denny Avdia to be to have more all Pro Bowl. I'm all in the wrong place.
Yeah.
More All-Star votes than both Kevin Durant and Alperen Şengün, and then he dropped 41 on their head top. So what are you expecting from Denny Avdia and the Portland Trailblazers tonight?
He's, man, he's really good.
He's good.
And I said this when we were talking about it. I was like, yeah, but he's kind of nice.
Yeah.
That's the uncomfortable part about it. You want to be like, hey, man, how you going to vote Denny Avdia over my guy?
Mm-hmm.
And then you, like, whenever Denny Avdia like, plays against your guy, or if you just happen to stumble up on a Blazers game accidentally, I guess the Blazers is like, or odd NBA league pass games are kind of like my, World Cup or whatever, or my, tangential soccer, whatever.
Yeah.
You look up and it's like, man, Denny Avdia is nice. This dude can play, and the Blazers are not like, they're not good, but they're not terrible.
Not even close.
You know what I mean? They're kind of frisky. They're like just like a team that you don't want to play. And so, no, this is an interesting back-to-back, or not back-to-back nights, but back-to-back games at least.
Do you hate them as much as I do?
I don't like them.
Yeah. Really?
I do not like them. They feel unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, at least I don't like the back-to-back nights. At least getting a night in between at least is okay for me. But playing the same team twice, I could do without that.
It could be annoying, but one of the things that I like, which I'm encouraged about in this game, is they give you a small preview of what your team is capable in a playoff circumstance when you just play at a team make adjustments.
I was going to say I would like it more if it was against a team that I thought they could play in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah,
I'll give you
fair.
That. Like, maybe it's the Blazers or when they do it against the Jazz. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they did it with the Nuggets, they played the Nuggets like twice in several days. There was a game in between. But I do kind of like that, aspect of it.
The reason
is not happening.
The reason I'm wondering is because then a lot of times on these back-to-backs, especially if they're back-to-back days, you get guys resting. You get, it's not quite the playoff, adjustments.
Sure.
And
it's not going to be the same energy. But I think at least in this one particular, so that I'm not speaking in a general, I think there is some things to watch with Ime Udoka's team and see how they adjust to the things that the Trailblazers were able to do them on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and even aside from the adjustment part, I think that whichever team loses, it's always interesting to see how that team responds.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Like the idea of being beat two times in a row, that's in this case, it's the better team that lost. If it had been the other way around, it would have been the home team that lost, right? Mm-hmm. Do the Blazers want to lose at home twice in a row to the same team?
Right.
Do the Rockets, as the better team, want to lose twice in a row to an inferior Blazers team, right? Just from that standpoint, it's kind of an interesting tit for tat.
I'll say, and I told Lopez this on Thursday after the Wednesday game, it was a realization. There was an eye-opening moment for me where I went, oh, that makes sense. You deciding to go and get Kevin Durant, add some more veterans to what you're doing here. The Rockets are not going to be the team where every time they're on the floor, I know that they're going to be the younger, more athletic team always.
Yeah.
And that's still going to be the case a decent amount, but the Trailblazers showed. You got Tumani Kamara and you got some of the other guys out there, and I was like, oh, I see that. Their point of attack defense is going to be something I'm interested in seeing again tonight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100% point of attack. But also, I think the thing that they are leaning into, and we saw this even in the beginning of the season when they come out there with double bigs, is the length. That part is still a problem. And I think to some degree, maybe they overly rely on it. That's something that maybe when the defense gets a little bit lazy or it's not performing up to snuff, it's like, man, are they over relying on this idea that they're more athletic and they know for a fact that they're longer than most teams?
Yeah.
And do they just kind of lean into that? They were playing zone defense early in the year, like a little bit too much leaning into being big and kind of want to lean more into what they were doing last year, which is point of attack defense.
They're not last year's team. I mean, one thing we learned already, this is a completely different approach, defense, style,
But what's interesting is that they'll turn it up. Like, for them, it's even like within game, they'll turn it up. That Suns game where KD hits the game winner, the point of attack defense, the ball pressure was lacking early.
And you're like,
But then in the third quarter, they turn it up. They get some really good Amen Thompson minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Kevin Durant hits the shot at the end and the rest is history. But it's like, where was that the whole game?
Yeah.
Where is that from not just game to game, but within the game?
Yeah.
Does it feel like they're not load managing, but trying to do the switch flipping? Or does this feel like an output kind of concern?
I've attributed it to focus. That's been my thing. I've called it a lack of focus, focus issues. Why that is, I don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. But that's just kind of my non-expert diagnosis. When I see it, it's there, then it's not. That means you've got it. But why can't you dial it up? Why can't you call it up every time?
Right.
That, to me, is a lack of focus.
And sometimes there's a good question as to, do you have the bandwidth to do it all the time? Because there's a difference, and we all know, right? There's a difference between calling up the opportunity to do this. There's a lot of us that are like, I can run real fast for a 3-second sprint, but how fast can I run over a strong, long period of time ends up being a question.
I do feel like now they're more equipped that Tari Eason and Dorian Finney-Smith are healthy, and they're starting to look. And I know, of course, Alperen Şengün, that throws a little wrinkle into things, him being injured. But at least they're wing guys and the guys that make this thing go in terms of the defensive versatility and not just overly relying on Amen Thompson to be that guy. Like, you can throw multiple guys, no less than 3 or 4 guys at Devin Booker, right? Like that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I think kind of improves and changes the game for them a little bit.
Almost rodeo season, fellas.
It is.
Let's go.
We got an announcement of the rodeo lineup yesterday, and it feels more visceral than ever. Just general thoughts, because I don't want to do the thing where I just read off the whole schedule. Mm-hmm. But there are some big names in here, including Tim McGraw, Lainey Wilson, Creed, Kelly Clarkson, Rascal Flatts, and of course, we start off with Riley Green. There's some names. Parker McCollum, obviously, still represented within this. What was your first thought? What was your general takeaways when you saw the rodeo lineup as constituted this year?
Well, Kelly Clarkson is the most talented artist that is going to perform in this entire rodeo lineup.
Gotta be a good ticket.
So I'll start there.
Is that in disagreement?
It's
between the two. It's between the two. And
Kelly Clarkson is kind of rich. I was shocked to see her on this.
No, that was the big.
She don't perform that often.
No, she's an all timer for me.
Yeah,
and like in terms of just talent.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily. I'm not just jamming Kelly Clarkson songs. Yeah. But just in terms of a talent, it's Kelly Clarkson, Chris Stapleton, and then everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, they're in a conversation of their own.
Yeah.
I will say, when I first saw this, I did not see that Lizzo was the
Black Heritage.
The chosen Black Heritage. I think that's a choice.
There's no Bun B this year.
That's a choice.
Choice. Well, no, he's right. That is a choice. Yeah. Because
Figgy?
You got a black lady out there rapping and playing the flute. I mean,
Don't do the flute, because Andre 3000 played the flute, and we'll let him.
I tell you what, I ain't here to watch and go to, not even for the road at the rodeo. Andre 3000 playing the flute.
No, I think it is something to be
not
said.
Not at all.
We can be honest here. We're amongst friends.
That's why I'm asking.
It's not just Black Heritage Night, ain't just about having a black person up there.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. It's about somebody that is going to appeal to the black heritage that is showing up.
It seems like show me five black people that like Lizzo right now. Hurry up.
Man, it seems like that's...
With all due respect to the Houstonian herself, right? Yeah. She is indeed from here.
She have a different crowd.
But,
I'll say that.
It seem like that's exactly what they thought? Oh, Black Heritage Night. Black person. Problem solved.
Oh, wow.
Like, oh, no.
I don't want to do rodeo like that. That's what they were doing.
I love the rodeo, but they should have...
Honestly, they could have pushed a boozy right there. No. I would have been fine with that.
They should have... No. They should have asked more questions, first of all. Yeah. And no, Figgy, Shaboozy, that would have been cheating. Because when I first saw the lineup, I thought Shaboozy was the one. That's a 2-for-1. Because that's actually country music, but they know black people like Shaboozy. And so they just going to get us out there on another country night and not really give us another black artist.
That would have been one black person throughout the whole lineup if they did that.
I'm just saying, they can do Shaboozy on a normal country night, and black people can just come, and they can still give us Black Heritage Night. You know what I'm saying? Instead of doing the 2-for-1 thing.
Well, we still got Shaboozy in here, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Shaboozy will be fun.
What's funny is Lizzo was supposed to perform at the rodeo, 2020.
Yep.
End up getting shut now.
Yep. So this is her getting back. Actually, Kelly Clarkson has done it before. She's been a part of another rodeo. There's a newcomer, Megan Maroney. I'm excited for her. She actually performed at the Bull Tent. So we got to see her up close and personal, and she could jam too. So there's some real fun acts.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Either Kelly Clarkson or Chris Stapleton would be better for Black Heritage Night.
Oh, yes.
We can let that breathe if you want.
B Sky, you might be cooking tonight.
Your boy's spitting. Knowledge dropped.
Can I have a moment for my people?
Please.
Let's go.
It does feel like we have fewer, at least.
This more inclusive.
So there's Pepe Aguilar, and then there's J Balvin is going to be a good ticket.
Okay.
On this.
This is where I get my Lizzo take in for my people. Pepe Aguilar, awesome. He's been a phenom for decades. He started singing when he was like 4 with his dad, who was a legend and all that. That's awesome. J Balvin, I was kind of like,
I think that's an age thing more than anything.
Maybe.
For you.
I was kind of like,
yeah, that's a little younger. I don't know how young, but
it's real. J Balvin's relatively young.
Yeah.
But is that more than Bad Bunny? I feel like Bad Bunny was a younger crowd.
Yeah, Bad Bunny would be a younger crowd.
J Balvin might be more.
J Balvin is not. I think he's right about there.
And I want to fully acknowledge that. In fact, stay tuned for Confessions in about 30 minutes because I play this little game every year when the rodeo lineup comes out, and it's going to be my confession. But yeah, so that's kind of where I am. You know, when you're talking about Lizzo, I was like, okay, I guess. But he's not on Hispanic Heritage Day. You know, he's just a different artist.
Yeah, from the 713, nobody had a problem with Lizzo in 2020, but since Bun B started, now nobody wants Lizzo. And I have to say this very carefully because I feel like I don't want to be mean to Lizzo. Lizzo is fantastic.
She is.
And she is from
here.
She's
a pop star.
And we love. She is a pop star.
She's a pop star.
And
go to Hano Day, by the way. Yes, please.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that I will say that is a truism of life, and I'll put it in the context of cars. You have a car and it's cloth seats. You get you some leather seats. You that's what you do now. Yeah. You just be in leather seats now, you know? Yeah. And I feel like that's applicable in some ways.
I mean, no lies were told.
Okay, very good.
No lies were told. And I feel like I
got to apologize to Lizzo here, though.
I like Lizzo. There are a lot of people that like Lizzo. There's a reason why Lizzo is as successful as she is. She's not a flop. She's a talented artist.
We need to look up, was she on Black Heritage Night in 2020?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because I thought she stood out on her own. I thought she was.
And that is also a different thing. I think Lizzo stacks up differently if she has a show unto herself. And I think also there's something to be said. Some of this is really just a statement on the Bun B because that was a collection of artists. It was always going to be weird going back to a singular artist on Black Heritage.
Yeah, they had like people like Alicia Keys on Black Heritage Night and all that stuff. John Legend, I want to say he was on Black Heritage Night. But the Lizzo thing, I just look at her as a pop star.
Mm-hmm. Question. Has Lizzo performed at the Essence Festival? If you went to the Essence Festival.
I would say she hasn't, and that's more because of her age than anything.
No, she could perform. Kendrick Lamar has performed.
He performed at Essence?
Yeah, I 10 years ago, I watched Kendrick Lamar at Essence Festival. He was much younger.
Sorry, I might
Black Heritage Day, March 13th, 2020 was the schedule.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
We have to be, we stand corrected.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to my point,
I mean,
though,
that don't prove nothing.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
This is the bar. If you went to the Essence Festival and you found out that Lizzo was there, would you go? Would you go to her pod? If you know how the Essence Festival works, would you go?
Perform there? It was probably very early on,
mm-hmm,
where she probably wasn't the pop star she was.
Yeah.
And real quick, shout out Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah, Dwight Yoakam
coming back. How about that?
That's going to be fun. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of good acts I'm excited for. I can't wait till Rodeo.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to ask how everybody feels about Creed being a part of Rodeo.
Come on. That's one of those you got to love them. Yeah, everybody has their opinion.
Do you have to love Creed?
I mean, they got hits. They have hits.
The memification of Creed recently brought them back to the fore. I just want to see how that goes for a concert.
Mm-hmm. Tickets
Let
will
me
be
get
sold.
My affliction jeans.
Say what you want. Tickets will be sold.
Yeah, you're right.
Tickets people will be
get
there.
The affliction ready.
You're right. All right. That's a little bit of what's popping here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I don't know if we came out of that unscathed, and I'll deal with the consequences of that later. But B. Scott, always appreciate you jumping in with us. All right, coming up next, simple question as we turn back to this Texans-Steelers game that will happen on Monday night. Who has the edge at quarterback? 713-572-4610. We do it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.